Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned to
Disorderly Conduct
with your host,
Vince in the Bay.
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 Hi there, honey. I'm number one-y.
Hi there, fella. I'd like to see you after the show.
Gay or what? Check one, two. Disorderly Conduct. It's Friday, April 26, 2013. I'm Vince, and I will be your audio erotic host for the next 2 hours. If you would like to join me on the air, the number, of course, 347-826-7667. I'm sure there's plenty to talk about. I just logged on to the Twitter and noticed quite a few happenings. Two items that are happening locally here. Apparently right now in downtown Oakland, the Fuck the Police march is underway. And I don't know what the status of that is. I'm seeing a lot of live tweeting of it. You know, when I first heard the concept of Fuck the Police, I was actually kind of in favor of that, because I have seen some pretty damn hot police officers. Some of the women in the uniform, let's just put it this way, I wouldn't kick them out of bed, all right? But then I found out what they really meant. It's not literally fucking the police. It's metaphorically fucking the police. So that's when they lost me. Also, It was just announced that apparently somebody inadvertently announced that Bradley Manning was going to be the Grand Marshal of the SF Pride Parade. And apparently that was untrue. And Lisa Williams, the SF Pride Board President, released a statement. And I will read some of that in a bit. A lot of people are up in arms about that. I honestly don't understand how Bradley Manning could be a Grand Marshal anyway, considering he's incarcerated. Kind of hard to be a Grand Marshal of a parade when you're in a federal detention center. So, anyway, also, I'll take your calls, 347-826-7667. And I want to also remind you that Sunday night I have a special guest. It's Ron Breinert. That's right, Ron Breinert, the person who I used to refer to as he whose name we shall not say. He is now on fairly good terms with me and is okay with me mentioning his name. In fact, he's so okay with it that he's agreed to come on the show. So make sure you tune in to that Sunday, the Sunday show with Ron Breinert. And he has told me via Twitter that he might have some breaking or some updated news to report. He tweeted me saying that he's working on an article that is going to be in about Greg Hoosh. Greg Hoosh, a notorious former Anonymous member. Apparently he's claiming that the FBI are investigating Barrett Brown defenders. So watch out, kids. If you in any way, shape, or form communicate that you are a supporter of Barrett Brown, if they aren't already watching you, they are now. And again, the lines are open. 347-826-7667 is the number. I see a non-sicko. Just sicko. I still got to get used to it. Sicko is waiting in the wings. We're going to go to him momentarily, and we can talk about anything and everything as per usual. Of course, this is Friday, Free Ball Friday, April 26, 2013. And you know the rules, kids. No underpants. That's right. No underpants allowed. Now, that doesn't mean you're naked, of course. It just means you're wearing pants with no underpants, a.k.a. going commando, if you know what I'm talking about. And ladies, same goes for you. No panties. Okay, so with that said, and I have also, of course, you know, if you've tuned in, you know that I wrote a song about Free Ball Friday and free balling. And I will be sharing it with you right now and be back soon with Just Sicko. Give me a call, 347-826-7667.
All right, from the top, free balling. She's a good girl. Loves her mama, loves Jesus, and America too. She's got big tits, crazy about humping. She loves bareback, and a vibrator too. It's a long day, living in the Bay. It's a long day, 'cause I got a big penis. There's a hippie running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy,
for wearing no underpants, 'cause I'm free, free balling. Yes, I'm free, free balling. Yes, I'm free, free balling. That's right, not wearing any underpants tonight, kids. I hope you aren't either. That's because I'm free. Free balling. That's when you're wearing pants with no underpants. Try it sometime. Enjoy it. Be liberated.
Broadcasting live from the Bay to Bombay, back to the BK and down to LA.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Call in now, biatches, 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
Okie dokie, it's Vince back with you live for another 45 minutes, and I appreciate everybody enduring the pain with me tonight. Thank you, Chatters, Divine Nachos, Dougie Dougie, Kaja Naja, Mock Mechanism, Not Now 2, Nyan Wall, Whale, Nyan Wall, Whale.
Sicko, and a bunch of guest listeners. And we have, and speaking of Sicko, I believe we have him on the line now. Welcome to the show, Sicko.
Oh, what's going on, Vince?
Nothing much. Just doing the radio show, and right before I went on, I heard some chattering about what was thought to be a Fuck the Police march in Oakland, but it's not. It's some sort of demonstration for prisoners downtown. What's that all about?
I mean, it's called a noise demonstration. Everybody goes, everybody marches from wherever they meet, you know, or whatever, or they meet outside of a prison or a jail. And, you know, then it's just as much noise as they can for the prisoners inside. And usually at these demonstrations, you'll see prisoners inside flipping their lights on and off. You'll see them banging on their window or whatever, and it just kind of shows the, you know, it kind of reminds the people inside there that, hey, there's a whole group of people outside who haven't forgot about you. You know what I mean? So at any time, you know, they can't actually see out there, or sometimes they can see out there, but sometimes the view's a little distorted. They can still hear everybody, you know?
Now, are there prisoners in particular that these folks are there to support, or are they just supporting prisoners because they're prisoners?
No, I mean, a lot of these people know people inside of these jails. I'm sure there were occupiers down there at this action, even though here lately in the Bay, looking at the media coming out of some of the more recent protests, even the protests that are covering the same topics that Occupy did, there's a lot of new faces. There's not so many familiar faces out there anymore. But, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of people. But, you know, they've had friends and stuff in these jails. I do know of one kid who was arrested at Occupy Oakland who might be in that jail. I know he's still in jail. He might be at that jail. And like I said, you know, they might have family or friends, or just be a general support the prisoners type thing. You know what I mean? A lot of people view the way that our jails are and our criminal justice system in this country are handled are pretty fucked up. So a lot of us just try to show support for, you know, people in general who are inside of there because we think they're. I personally believe that the vast majority of crimes not involving drugs or not involving pot, because you know pot is the biggest reason why people are in jail. If you eliminate pot and you just look at everything that's left, I think most of those crimes are caused by scarcity and the fact that some people don't have or that there's not enough or there's supposedly not enough to go around, so there's demand. Some people need things that they don't have. So,
fair enough. There, I would agree that there probably are some folks incarcerated in there who maybe are imprisoned for nonviolent crimes, victimless crimes, and I'm totally down with supporting that. But you know, there are legitimate rapists and murderers and thieves in there as well. So how can you do a noise demonstration and not be perceived as supporting violent criminals that are in there because they deserve to be in there?
Well, that's the thing is this demonstration isn't I mean, it is kind of a show for the public to see, but this demonstration, it doesn't really matter how it's perceived. You're there to kind of communicate with the prisoners, you know, whoever's there. I know they've gone and done a few of these outside of, like, Jeremy Hammond's, the jail Jeremy Hammond's in, and he's written in some of his letters about the demonstration and stuff like that. These demonstrations are for those people. Whatever the media is going to write about it, the media is going to write about it. There's no sense sitting around worrying about it.
Yeah, dude. But you know, You know, the guy that, you know, murdered somebody's family is like, yeah, these people are supporting me, bro. Get me out of here, bros.
Eh, so be it. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going, because just because other people can misconstrue my actions doesn't mean that I'm going to not do them when I know that these demonstrations can mean the world to somebody in jail. Like I said, Jeremy Hammonds wrote in a couple of his letters about the noise demonstrations that they hold outside of his jail, and talks about how not only him, but, you know, some of the other prisoners, and, you know, he talks about how he's surrounded, you know, most of the people he's surrounded by are decent enough people. You know, they're in there for, like, stealing stuff, you know, or drugs. And stealing stuff that goes back to the whole scarcity shit. So, and he says it just kind of put the smile on people's faces. And he said, anytime you're in jail, and it doesn't matter if the person's a murderer or not, if you can put a smile on somebody's face, that's one less bad day that could happen inside of there. You know what I mean? That's one less person that could potentially be in a bad mood and shank somebody. You know, so be it. If some murderer or rapist is like, oh, these people are supporting me, and gets all happy about it, you know what I mean? So be it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Even the people that are guilty, and we can all agree, deserve to be in there, they're still human beings. They still have feelings. I'm sure some of them are remorseful about what they did. Maybe some aren't, but I'm sure it, no matter what, they're human, they get lonely, and just knowing that there's people out there who know that they are in there, I'm sure that helps them more than it hurts them, I guess.
Imagine it's some random 25-year-old kid in there who grew up in the hood, was selling crack or something to pay for the bills or get baby food for his kid or something, and now he's in prison. And that's the face, and that smile, like I said, could be the difference between while he's in there, have the morale to deal with his time, or does he get into more trouble while he's in there and end up becoming institutionalized?
One more question about this noise demonstration. What are they using to make noise exactly?
Anything. I've seen them. I've been to one noise. I've only been to one noise demonstration, but, you know, I do absolutely know what they are.
Is it anything like going to a Sonic Youth concert?
I've never been to a Sonic Youth concert, so I wouldn't know.
You talk about noise, bro. Like, feedback for, like, an hour, and that's considered music.
But I mean, you know, it's drums, it's yelling, it's chants, it's Vesuvalas or whatever those things are called that they had at the World Cup, 2008 or some shit like that.
They should get a noise cannon. I mean, the police have a noise cannon. Why can't they have a noise cannon?
I don't know.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Anywho. All right, so that's going on. I don't know what the status is of that march right now. As far as I know, the protesters are wandering aimlessly around downtown, and I wish them luck. I hope they don't get maimed or hurt or put themselves or anybody in danger. I have another caller on the line here that I want to bring on. Let's go to the phone lines. Unscreened caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
No Pro.
Op No Pro, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Op No Pro? Hello, Sicko.
How are you doing, old man? We miss you.
I know. That's why I showed up today.
Mm-hmm.
Good to hear from you. I'm glad to know. Are everything okay? Are you healthy? You're not, like, laid up in some hospital bed calling us?
Nope, I'm good. I'm outside the hospital. Not literally outside, you know. I'm outside the building, and now I'm at my apartment.
Oh, No Pro, I forgot to tell you. You haven't been here in a long time. I've instituted a new rule. Everybody gets 2 minutes for using the word literally.
You can't mute an Oprah.
But I'm going to give you a pass because you haven't called in forever and you didn't know. Although ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
That's true. But it'd be nice to know that there are laws out there.
So what's going on with you since the last time we spoke?
Had a visitor here for about 6 months that was sharing my place with me and having a good time up in Canada. And took off for parts unknown. Just keeping on moving. And did a couple of activities, helped run the Steubenville files. That's what I was the researcher on that, and helped on that project, which was really very successful. We ran the newsletter on the net every day, and took all the stuff that we finally made public, and you know, people's heads started to roll over some of the stuff we were publishing. It's quite active, quite neat. And then a couple other activities which I won't be stating exactly what I was doing, just doing things that normal.
Mm-hmm.
Normal stuff. Missed everybody. Had a good time.
We missed you. And you you have missed quite a bit. I don't know if you've been lurking at all, but there's been quite a bit of drama related to this show and obviously outside of the show as well. But
yeah, I'd like to hear about that. Chad was talking to me before the show about 3 hours ago, and I said, you know, let's get together and bring me up to speed, but he didn't have any means of communicating that he was comfortable with. But I'd like to hear what went on, if you don't mind.
I can give you sort of a Cliff Notes edition. Well, let's see. In the last month and a half, I have had one of my episodes reported for violation of terms of service and deleted. I've had 3 shows DDoSed and taken offline. One of them just took my switch. Well, two of them, the two latest ones just took down my switchboard. The first one took down the entire Blog Talk Radio site. What else? I had Weave on here, his second to last night of freedom.
Yeah.
And my parents got swatted.
Swatted.
Swatted, yeah. Quotation marks around swatted. It wasn't the actual SWAT team, but it was 20 units, over 30 officers, heavily armed, raided my parents' house, and luckily no one was hurt, harmed in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, so that happened, and I took a nice little break for a while. I went up north, enjoyed the beautiful redwoods, the forest, the trees, nature. Got away from civilization. It was beautiful up there. Communed with all my granola hippie friends up there, and it was very, very, very relaxing and
cool.
Liberating.
You do the Big Bear area, don't you?
Big Bear is way south, and that's Southern California. That's where Chris Dorner.
I know.
Thing happened.
I know.
Yeah, that's Southern California. That's Big Bear is essentially Tahoe for Southern California.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stream off of Arrowhead.
Sure. No, I went up, I was up in, I spent some time in Fort Bragg, Mendocino County. Also went up to Humboldt County, did a lot of hiking, hugged a lot of trees, and yeah, just enjoyed nature.
That's good.
And now I'm back to the madness.
Okay, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. So you're up to speed now. Oh, I had a show last night. Well, first of all, have you heard about all this Uranon News website drama?
Not necessarily as drama. I've heard they've got like 20 guys that sign in and sign out using that password.
No. I'm talking about the, they are planning to roll out a news website.
Oh, I did read about that today, but
yeah.
I haven't been following it.
Yeah, and it's been causing quite a bit of controversy amongst that community. And people have all sorts of opinions. A lot of people are... you know, accusing Uranon News of essentially extorting money from people. And there's been a brand new account created just to take up the fight against Uranon News. There's an account called Anons Against Uranon News. And... yeah, and so apparently there's a big contingent of Anons that are not happy with the idea of having this website out there and raising money to pay for it.
How are they raising money? There's no paywall, is there?
I believe they're doing Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Kickstarter; it was Indiegogo.
Indiegogo.
Basically, it was a donation drive. People just donated money who chose to donate money. You know what I mean? They didn't extort any money out of anybody. They didn't.
Right.
Oh, look, Brian Knappenberger, and it took Yan a week to raise $30,000. It took Brian Knappenberger 12 hours to do the same thing. So people who were crying about Yan doing this, where's your outrage at that? You know what I mean? Like the minute he went, Brian went public with his new project. Which, for those who don't know. The guy who created or who directed We Are Legion is now making a documentary about Aaron Schwartz. Vince got to see a 10-minute clip of this at the We Are Legion screening here in San Francisco, and then he's got a little bit more footage up now. So, I mean, I think I've seen probably 15 or 20 minutes of original footage from this movie, and it looks really good. But it's kind of cut from the same cloth that We Are Legion. You can tell it's the same director. So if you liked the way We Are Legion was done, even if you didn't like, say, the anonymous part, but if you thought it was a well-made documentary, then you'll enjoy this one as well. So,
sure.
He raised $6,000 in 12 hours.
Oh, good for Brian.
Yeah.
It was a good project. I mean, you know, he did a good job.
Yeah, oh, it was. Weird Legion was put together really well. The music is one of my favorite parts of that documentary. And then the 10-minute clip, because he showed us part of it after he did a screening of Weird Legion here in San Francisco. He showed the people who remained around 10 minutes of this Aaron Schwartz documentary, and the music even sounds similar. Dale Coleman's in it, Quint Norton was in it, and then a few people that I personally have never heard of, but I'm assuming that they're Aaron, some of Aaron's friends. You know, so it looked really good. I'm glad he got the $36,000. I hope that's enough to make this movie. I cannot wait for it to come out. Hopefully I'll be able to go see it in the theaters a couple times, just like I've been able to go see Real League.
There's not going to be a dry eye in the house.
Yeah, I imagine that one's going to be a real emotional documentary.
From the 20 minutes I saw, it's a postcard to Aaron Schwartz and his memory, and people are just going to be people that liked him and supported him are going to be bawling like crazy. It's going to be sad.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It's at least the cut I saw seemed more or less right on par with the style and pacing of the We Are Legion film that Brian did.
So he dropped the whole Sabu thing. He's not doing Sabu at all.
You know, I talked to him at the screening, and he is still a project that he is interested in doing. He made it seem like it's kind of on the back burner because of this Aaron Schwartz thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I talked to him a little bit about Sabu, and he seemed pretty interested in having a future conversation about Sabu. So I think that's something that's going to probably happen down the road. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I've ever said this with a documentary filmmaker, but I really hope that we get to see a whole handful of documentaries made by Brian. I wouldn't be opposed if we got 15 fucking documentaries about, you know, everything from Occupy, you know, everything activist related that's gone on lately. This is my 2-hour documentary about it. It's all said and done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on a second. We have another guest caller that is going to join us now. I'm really thankful that he finally got through. I don't know, maybe he was trying to get through last night and I just didn't find him, but he made it tonight. I just mentioned him. I'm talking about, one of the people behind Anon's Against Your Anon News. And I guess I'm going to call him Ayan. Ayan, you're on the air. What's going on?
Greetings.
Greetings. Salutations. Welcome
to
the
show. What was that shit about last night, Vince? What the fuck was up with that?
What do you mean, what was up with it?
Well, your show went off the fucking rails, man. What'd you do? You abandoned your own show?
My show went off the rails. That pretty much is par for the course.
Okay, just a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the audio from last night, and I noticed that you and Cordell seemed to talk a lot about David Seaman, but Taj Clayton never came up once. Was that an honest mistake?
I am not familiar with Taj Clayton. Please fill me
in. Well, did you not read the Pastebin?
I didn't read the whole Pastebin, no. Please.
Okay,
please,
well, you must have not read the first part of it, because Taj Clayton was the first thing we covered. Taj Clayton was a Democrat from Dallas, Texas, that ran for Congress, that paid Cordell Cameron $750 to be his social media campaign promoter. In other words, he paid $750 to Cordell Cameron to run what essentially amounts to an internet propaganda campaign during April of last year.
And what
was
that?
The same time Wormer was getting in trouble, the same time that Your Anon News was railing against the encroaching government.
Mm-hmm.
D.B. Cooper was working for one of them. Do you guys just happen to forget to mention that? Was that just an honest mistake?
You know,
we like you, Vince. We really do.
Uh-huh.
But I think that you're putting your integrity over, you're putting your interest in popularity over your integrity. These fucking people are bad. They're bad and you know it.
Vince has integrity? What are you talking about?
Vince has integrity. He's smart. And if he fucking stopped kissing ass, the show could be really good. His incessant pandering is embarrassing.
Is that so? Yeah. you still managed to listen and call in, right?
Yeah, because I like Vince, and he makes some good points, except for when he comes to the point where he kisses your little cool kids' club's asses. We're done with you. Anonymous is done with fucking your Anon news. And listen to us now. The Battle of Cat Narok is nigh. The epic battle! The epic battle is converged! And Anon against your Anon news will prevail! Because we are on the ground! We are on the ground!
Wow.
You need some stuff for that heart attack you're going to have?
What was that? Is getting mad?
That was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, I could not understand a single word of it. And he hung up. Dude.
Well,
what's up with that? That's it?
That means that what you heard before was shit, was bullshit. Look, if a guy's not around to stick around for what he said, he shouldn't say it in the first place. He's just a dickhead. I'll tell him.
Moving on, 347-826-7667 is the number. We just had a very friendly visit from Anons Against Anon, Your Anon News. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that that was a troll. I will admit I am not the best interviewer on the planet. As you know, I juggle a lot here. I'm sort of a one-man show. I'm screening calls. I'm in engineering. I'm hosting. And sometimes the questions kind of suffer. And if I was not asking hard enough hitting questions of DB Cooper, I apologize. I expressed my feelings on... based off of what I know, it sounds like A.A. Yan knows a lot more than I do. Personally, I just go off of my interactions with people. I've never had any problems with D.B. Cooper. He's always been... a fun guest, a good guest to have on the show. I can't vouch for what activity he's done that I'm not aware of, but I maybe I'm naive, but when on the internet, I pretty much take people at face value, and it's impossible to please everyone. The funny thing about trying to be objective and neutral is you're always going to be accused of siding with one side or the other in your questioning or interactions. Like, for example, one time I asked Lee Stranahan to come on my program, just simply, "Hey Lee, the Steubenville case just, that it was back in the news. I know you were covering it. I know how you have your angle. I'd like to have you on the show." And I was intending to have somebody with an opposing point of view on the show as well. But people on Twitter saw me tweet to Lee asking him onto the show, and suddenly I became... instantly a rapist apologist simply for asking him on the show. That's ridiculous. And then I got accused of being his PR man, his right-hand man. And then on the other side, I'm getting accused of being Team Kimberland. Are you kidding me? I don't even know that guy. How can I be on? I'm on no team. I'm Vince in the Bay. I'm a sovereign individual, and I'm not going to join any club that would have me as a member. Okay, and that's why I, you know, admired Anon from afar for a while. Now I don't know what the hell is going on with Anonymous. It seems to be imploding, and you know, it's a shame because when I first got engaged with Anonymous during that Occupy Wall Street, not Occupy Wall Street, the Operation BART, their BART protests, you know, I thought that was kind of a worthwhile protest. You know, I thought it makes sense. You know, you shouldn't shut down cell service because of an emergency. If anything, you should keep cell service on an emergency, so people can communicate with friends and families and let them know that they're safe. And I thought that was worthwhile. And so I was kind of like, hey, these Anon guys aren't so bad. And the same with Operation Fullerton, Operation Orlando. Those to me were worthwhile operations. And then, you know, and then Occupy came along and kind of just destroyed it all, and it's never been the same since. And that's why I keep pushing people to start thinking post Anonymous, post Occupy, post Tea Party. Those movements made their mark. I consider them like awakenings, and you know, a good group of people were sort of woken up to what's going on, to the reality around them, and I think that's a positive thing. But I think it's time to lay that to rest and move on. I mean, let's face it, Anonymous started off as the internet hate machine. Now it's like the white knights of the internet. It's become what it hated, and I think that's a sign that you know, not that there's anything wrong with moral fagging. I like I said, you know, Operation BART was that's essentially moral fagging, but you know, there was lulls mixed in with it though, which is what I liked. It was kind of like a nice balance between the two, and now I think there's imbalance, and I think there's pure chaos, and it's a shame to see it fall apart. But I'm optimistic that from the ashes of all this, they'll eventually be something better, and you know, more advanced. Hello.
I'm here.
We heard you.
Okay. Let's take another. Go ahead.
Are the accusations that people are levying against DB that he used to work for a politician? Like, that's what it sounded like to me. It sounded to me like he was saying that he worked for a politician. I've known quite a few activists who have worked for politicians in the past. Quite a few activists who have worked for politicians. I know activists who have been caught. I know somebody back home who is an ex-FBI agent who is now a pot dealer who fucking, you know what I mean? So, like, to sit here and say that, oh, well, he used to work for a politician, therefore he's evil. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, that doesn't even make sense to me.
Just grouping everybody, you know?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
No different than profiling.
I don't see what the point is. I mean, so he took money from a politician. So be it. First, you know, we've all had to take money from places that we necessarily don't agree with to be able to buy food and, you know, have a roof over our head and to not freeze to death in the winter.
That's just kind of how it is. You know what I mean? I built machines that flew to other countries and bombed people. Like, just kind of what it was, you know, something I had to do for, you know, a few months to pay the bills so I could eat and not starve to death, you know. Like, part of the reason why we all do what we do. So to say that somebody, because they have this past, that their words can't be valid right now, completely discounts anything and everything we've ever said, ever, you know.
Yeah,
hello?
I'm with you.
Hey, guys.
We're here.
Sorry, I was just doing a little call screening there. We're going to have another guest in a moment. Chase, who I believe called in last night, is going to join us in just a minute. So I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. Stay tuned.
Better when you're
Okay.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, what's going on, NoPro?
I think it's just...
Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay. Give us a call, bitches. 347-826-7667. And now, back to the show.
My goodness, my bad. It's the Bay back up in this. I got Sicko and Op No Pro with me. And now I'm going to introduce Chase to our panel. Chase was with us last night. What's up, Chase?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Chase.
Oh, it's going great. It's going fantastical. I'm happy to have Op No Pro back on the show. It's been months since he's been here, so this is almost a reunion in a way. This is old school. This is like having Sicko and Op No Pro on the show at the same time brings me back to the summer of 2011, which I like to fondly recall as the summer of lulls.
Definitely.
And we've been talking about Anonymous, and I would say that summer of lulls was probably the pinnacle of Anonymous, as far as I'm concerned. I think it kind of went downhill from there after Lulzsec, petered out.
That's kind of hard to top. What Lulzsec did was unprecedented.
That'll never happen again. No, nobody will have that big of cojones to do it. And if anybody does, we all know by now. We all know better. We all know it's they're the feds. There's just no way you can have that big of balls that was so surreal, man. It was like every night there was something going on with them, you know. I remember doing shows and somebody was like, hey dude, go to this link on PBS, there's a Nyan Cat or something, you know. And did they hack Krayshawn's Twitter, or was that somebody else?
No, that was
somebody from Anonymous.
Yeah, it was.
Oh man, those were heady days. Those were heady days. Oh well. Did you guys see this flash crash that was caused by a tweet this week?
No.
Yeah, that was the AP hack.
Yeah, the AP hack. Somebody hacked into the AP account, Twitter account, and tweeted out that there were bombs that blew up in the White House, and the stock market instantly had a flash crash of about 130 some odd points.
Yeah.
Just blows my mind, dude. And most of that is tied up in the day traders that do flash trading, where it's all computerized trading, where they have these algorithms that do thousands of trades a minute. And some of these algorithms pull data from Twitter. And so they, you know, they're programmed to, you know, if there's a fucking White House blows up, you know, sell GE, sell Alcoa, sell Merck, sell Google. That's another thing I don't get about Wall Street. Let's say the White House did explode. How does that affect my, like, how does that cause
it will a few ways.
General Electric's stock people to want to suddenly say, I got to sell all my General Electric stock now. Oh my God.
It creates a sense of instability.
Yeah, you know this shit's about to hit the fan, especially if, like, say, the White House were to blow up. You know, that's not the Twin Towers. If they were to hit the White House, America would probably unleash its entire might, nuclear weapons and all.
Yeah, but GE is not gonna shut their doors and go bankrupt.
No, but
that's got nothing to do with it. It's the part that the mind plays, the part that you perceive, because the market is not just, you know, stock trading in the sense of, you know, metrics and things like that, Vince. It's also based on, you know, what people believe is the health and welfare of the nation. And if the White House went down, every stock would go down.
Well, not only that, but it also, it's like we're going to move from into a more heavily militarized economy where profit margins may be affected. You may not make as much money because more resources and stuff are being devoted to the war machine. You know, it could be a mini number of things. Like to me, it actually makes sense that the stock market would fall if the president were to, say, get assassinated, or a terrorist were to happen.
Like you said, once something like that would happen, like you said, since all those new resources would starting to be devoted directly to the government instead of being directed directly towards the welfare of the public, and so. The stock probably would plummet because then you don't have the public trading instead of everything going directly towards the government.
Not only that, generally speaking, even though Iraq and Afghanistan maybe our economy plummeting lately can be tied to this, but generally speaking, during war times, people are not buying cars or luxury items. You know, you think back to, like, the World War II or Vietnam, you know, there's a lot of resources that have to be allocated for the military, so they get diverted from, from other directions. People get a lot more unsure, so they don't go out and, so they're not going out and buying homes and shit like that because they don't know where the world's going to be in a few years, so.
After wartime, you have all that starting to go back up, like after World War II in the 50s, and then you started having, like, those automotive industries starting to boom again, and you started having everything, all the industries that were trying to allocate their resources towards the war, then all of a sudden the public, after the war, started taking interest in all of those excess goods, too.
You know, I'm by far an economist. You know what I mean? The only shit I know is shit that I've read on the internet or documentaries I've watched. So let's not pretend like I have some extremely educated opinion. But I mean, the logic behind peacetime economies being a lot more frugal or a lot more frivolous with what they're doing. You know what I mean? Higher profits mean, you know, for these companies, I mean, the stock market would rise and take that away. It's just, to me, common sense that the stock market would drop.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, I broke away to screen a call there. But I think ultimately the reasoning behind it is faith in the dollar. When people have stocks and they think, you know, there's everything's insured by the federal government, right? Backed up by the federal government. And if there was some perception that the federal government was going to fail, they would want to get out of dollars, out of the stock market, and get into commodities, whatever, other currencies, other asset classes. And I think that's the general idea behind it. I could be wrong. I'm not an economist, but just on the surface, I think it's ridiculous that, you know, just because a plane flies into a building, suddenly I'm on a trading floor saying, "Oh my God, I got to get rid of my Coca-Cola stock." That just
there's nothing ridiculous about it at all, Vince.
To me, what's ridiculous about the whole situation is how it was automated. How it took a single tweet, albeit it's from AP, and if you ask me, one news account on the internet that is the most unbiased, you know what I mean? I would probably say it's at AP. That being said, I mean, they still have their obvious biasness. Just like every other media organization out there, you know, it's really hard to give unbiased media. But so when they tweet out that two explosions have just rocked the White House and Obama is in fucking the hospital, it's kind of understandable why people would take that seriously. Though everybody else was able to double-check and see, like, oh, well, this is the only mention of this. You know what I mean? Nobody else is saying this is happening, shit like that. So let's not panic. A computer can't do that. So we shouldn't be automating this shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's just dumb.
It's too late, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's too big to not run. Or it's too big to the point where it could only be automated. You know what I mean? Like, we couldn't run everything that's out there the way it is unless it was automated.
I wish we could automate our government. Kick all these assholes out. They make too much money. They don't listen to us. Just get rid of them. Seriously, just put bots in Congress instead. I have more faith than a bot than I do Nancy Pelosi. And some people might mistake Nancy Pelosi for a bot, but whatever. Let's bring on somebody who I do not believe is a bot. The lovely Ginger is here with us. Welcome, Ginger.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening, darling?
I'm okay. And you're
Sweet.
Doing better from last night?
I'm doing a lot better. I've been pretty sick all week, and
I felt bad for you last night.
Yeah, I was a mess. I was on a bunch of cough syrup. What's his name? AP Blake was tweeted out, "Yo, Vincent the Bay is robo-tussing, roboing right now," which I wasn't. I have done that robo-tussing thing. Robo-tripping. Yeah, that's what he said.
Not really that exciting.
It was the first time I ever did it. I grew up in California, where we have conventional drugs here.
They have them everywhere.
Well, sort of.
Be right back.
Okay, great. And a friend of mine who moved out here from Michigan, who lived in a small town outside of Kalamazoo, they didn't have...
they don't have shit there.
They didn't have crap. All they had was a drugstore in town. So they would spend their
Missouri, where I live, it's like what the meth capital in Independence, Missouri, which is like 10 minutes away from me. We have drugs like crazy, like Kansas City.
So what they would do is on Friday nights, instead
of... We have the synthetic drugs stuff, too.
Instead of, you know, smoking pot or doing acid or snorting coke, they would just chuck bottles of Robitussin. And when my friend told me this story, I was like, are you kidding me? You can get high off Robitussin? And he's like, yeah, you should try it. And I was like, all right. And for a period of time, myself and a couple of my friends went through this robo-tripping phase where that was our thing, was like, dude, we got a robo.
Your tolerance doesn't grow that much? Like, I mean,
well,
I don't know. I wasn't doing it,
you know, all day, every day. It was just kind of like, you know, hey, it's...
So I do something once, and my tolerance sort of is like way too high.
No,
but I've been on prescription medications like almost my whole life, too, so...
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that Chase?
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
Out in the East Bay, like, I'm from Antioch.
Uh-huh.
And out in the East Bay, everyone went through a phase that they would do that too. Like for a couple of months, they got really big, like the whole Robitussin thing.
Uh-huh.
But it ended up like quickly dying off. It lasted like a couple of months in 2010, and then just ended up completely dying off.
Oh, we have like the synthetic drug phase, not necessarily bath salts, but they're not bath salts anymore. It'll be like anything you find at like head shops or like stores like 7-Eleven. I don't know. Like after that one guy in Florida, was it in Florida that he ate off someone's face?
When he got
some synthetic. Yeah, well, it was probably like synthetic marijuana. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming not because we have like Diablo, which is K2 and K3, which Kansas started those, but a lot of people sent those. But it became a really big deal here. Like, everyone was like, oh, some guy got so high, he ate off someone's face. Let's see what happens when we do this shit.
Well, I think, like, one of the main reasons that people started doing those was because they were, like, trying to pass drug tests and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point of them. But, like, there's a funny news story that made me laugh, which is, like, title was, my daughter accidentally did synthetic acid at a party, high school party. And it's like, how did she accidentally do it? She was just like, well, she was like, I think they just slipped into her drink. I was like, dude, your daughter did not accidentally do that. Because the mom was like, she called me and told me she couldn't breathe. I was like, she was on acid. She probably thought she wasn't breathing. She was on synthetic acid. She was probably fine. She was probably just freaking out and having a bad trip. Like, no kid, like, why did they even air that my daughter accidentally did drugs? You don't accidentally do that shit.
Well, all the synthetic stuff, like, completely messes up your brain, too, if you're a consistent user
Exactly. Like, the synthetic acid, I'm like, why would someone do, why not just do the real thing? I mean, I've never done it, but...
Synthetic or the real thing?
Synthetic acid is not the real thing.
No, you said, I've never done it. You never done acid?
I've never done either.
Right on. Acid's pretty cool.
I've done K2 and
right,
K3.
Synthetic
marijuana.
I got to take a break. My bladder is about to explode. And Anon's Against Your Anon News is back. So I'm going to take...
Oh, they were all pissy last night?
Oh, yeah.
They came back today, too.
Didn't you say you were getting, like, a tweet, like, every fucking second last night?
It seemed like it. I don't know.
Was it even about? Them being butthurt or something?
You know what? We'll talk about it when I come back from the bathroom, okay? Like, I'm seriously about to pee my pants.
Just go pee.
I'm going to go pee and play this song and come back with Anons against Urine on News.
Oh, God. Well.
You let me violate you. You let me desecrate you. You let me penetrate you. You let me complicate you.
You're tuned to Disorderly Conduct with your host, Vince in the Bay.
Let's stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay.
Call in now, biatches. 347-826-7667. And now your host, Vince in the Bay.
Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play. Hear what I gotta say. Stop hating in the Bay. Here's my CD, by the way. In your deck, press play.
Aw, yeah. Stop hating in the Bay, everybody. Speaking of the Bay, the Bay's very own Golden State Warriors are dangerously close to being dangerously close to defeating the Denver Nuggets tonight. There was a controversial play at the end of the game, and it's currently right now, well, as of a minute ago, there was a Denver turnover that was being reviewed, and the ruling stood, and the Warriors have the ball with 5.3 seconds left to go and a 1-point lead. It's Warriors 109, Nuggets 108, and I am going to stay on top of that as the show continues. And it looks like Harrison Barnes now at the line for 2 free throws. And also, I've got quite a little panel going on here tonight. Very, very grateful to have, of course, to have Anon Sicko with me. Welcome back, Sicko.
What's going on? But I'm not Anon Sicko.
Sorry, I'm very grateful to have just Sicko on the show. My bad,
Sicko.
Dude. Sicko. Thanks for coming on the show, Sicko.
No problem. I have a clarifying point for you earlier. You asked how Manning was going to be the Grand Marshal. I think Daniel Ellsberg had already agreed to represent Manning.
Oh, they were going to have him speak on his behalf?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking they were going to do something like do a video thing. Well, they probably can't even get cameras in there to videotape them, huh? That dude's on lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, the San Francisco, San Francisco every year has what locals call Gay Day. And basically, it's a weekend of festivities that includes a very elaborate parade, San Francisco Pride Parade. It's a celebration of homosexuality and I guess bisexuality too. And someone had contacted Bradley Manning or contacted his people and told him that he was going to be the Grand Marshal of the SF Pride Celebration, which I believe happens in June. Yeah, June 29th and 30th. And just about an hour ago, the SF Pride Board President issued this statement saying that Bradley Manning will not be a Grand Marshal in this year's San Francisco Pride Celebration. His nomination was a mistake and should never have been allowed to happen. A staff person at SF Pride, acting under his own initiative, prematurely contacted Bradley Manning based on internal conversations within the SF Pride organization. That was an error, and that person has been disciplined, aka executed. He does not now, nor did he at the time speak for SF Pride. Bradley Manning is facing the military justice system of this country. We all await the decision of that system. However, until that time, even the hint of support for actions that placed in harm's way the lives of our men and women in uniform and countless other military and civilians alike will not be tolerated by the leadership of San Francisco Pride. It is and would be an insult to everyone, gay and straight, who has ever served in the military of this country. There are many gay and straight military and non-military who believe Bradley Manning to be innocent. There are many who feel differently. There are many who don't feel at all. There are many who don't give a shit. Like me, Vince in the Bay. I ad-libbed that part, sorry. Under the U.S. Constitution, they have a First Amendment right to show up, participate, and voice their opinions at Pride this year. Oh, really? I'm getting constitutional education from the SF Pride Board president here, who says under the U.S. Constitution, they have a First Amendment right to show up, participate, and voice their opinions at Pride this year. That is incorrect, okay? The First Amendment does not grant you or me any rights. The First Amendment is not written for you or me or any Bradley Manning supporters or anti-Bradley Manning people. The U.S. Constitution is written specifically for the United States Congress. In fact, if you look at it, the first word of the amendment is Congress. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise therefore of, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Where in there does it say that people are granted the right to free speech? It's not there. See, this is a common... People don't understand the... I don't even understand the Constitution, but the Constitution's meant to be shackles on the government. They're not granting us rights. They are protecting our inalienable rights from the tyranny of government. You're welcome, Lisa Williams, for that fact check. Okay, I'm going to continue. She says, specifically, what these events have revealed is a system whereby a less than handful of people may decide who represents the LGBT community's highest aspirations as Grand Marshals of SF Pride. This is a systematic failure that now has become apparent and will be rectified. In point of fact, less than 15 people actually cast votes for Bradley Manning. These people are part of what is called the SF Pride Electoral College, comprised of former SF Pride Grand Marshals. However, as an organization with responsibility to serve the broader community, SF Pride repudiates this vote. The board of directors of SF Pride never voted to support this nomination. Bradley Manning will have his day in court, but will not serve as an official participant in SF Pride. Wow, poor guy. I mean, he's had it rough already, and now they're not even going to let him participate in SF Pride? It's fucked up. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Bring back, let's see, we'll bring back OpNoPro.
Pat.
And we've got Chase. Chase, are you there? Hang on.
Chasing down.
My switchboard's acting funky. Oh, well. Chase, we'll bring you on in a second. And, oh, there he is. Chase, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Cool. And I believe we have Ginger back. Ginger, is that you? Ginger. Not Ginger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is Ginger. Okay. Welcome back, Ginger. And
okay,
now,
you can hear me now?
I can totally hear you now. Did you have
okay,
something?
Okay, because I called back. Like, you had technical difficulties when you were playing the song, so it's like, I just called back. I didn't know.
There was technical difficulties during the song?
Yeah, it kept cutting out again.
The song was cutting out?
Yeah, completely. It's a good song.
Did that happen to you guys, Sicko?
No.
No, maybe, during parts of it, like towards the end. It wasn't my service.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, I apologize about that. Reading Rainbow.
It wasn't that bad. Weren't you going to bring, like, a non to Ginger a non-new song?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for reminding me. We have... Yeah,
we only have 30 minutes left.
I only have what?
Like 30 minutes left.
I know. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. I'm just sure they have like a mouthful, say.
Okay, and really quick, the Warriors have been victorious. They have defeated the Denver Nuggets. They are now up 2-1 in the SF series. Congratulations.
You named the team the Nuggets.
People
Nuggets is a good thing.
It actually the Denver Nuggets, now that Colorado passed that law, they have a different meaning now. It's not good. it's tasty nuggets.
Denver Bud Nuggets.
Probably.
All right, okay.
What about now, weed nuggets?
Right. Free ball Friday nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, bring on.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. Welcome back, Anons against Your Anon News. Welcome back.
Hello.
How's it
Hi.
Going? You cut off earlier. You were in the middle of some sort of soliloquy, and we lost connection.
Yeah.
Did you want
to you know how these cell phones are, what with their crazy coverage and whatnot. You know, they drop coverage occasionally. Sorry, I forgot what we were talking about. I fell asleep during the 20-minute dissertation about the Constitution.
Okay.
Actually, that was a good point.
Oh, you fell asleep too?
No. I said you made a good point, though.
Oh, thank you. Well, not everybody realizes this. Obviously, Anons against Your Anon.
People needed to be informed.
Yeah. You know, it's redundant for some people, but for others.
Yeah, like
maybe,
me, but it's
obviously,
because you're letting others know.
Obviously, Lisa Williams, the SF Pride Board President, doesn't fucking understand the Constitution. So
it's
I
just said you don't need it.
Huh?
You just said you don't either.
Right, but I think I have
your
a better...
Your exact quote was, a lot
okay,
of people
okay.
don't understand
a gay pride?
The Constitution. I don't even understand the Constitution. That's what you
okay,
said.
Okay, but of
it?
All people, a gay pride organization should be discriminating against others if they're, like, anti-discrimination.
Okay,
being hypocrites.
Ma'am, I have no idea who you're talking to. I was talking to Vince. I don't know what you're babbling about. But anyway, Vince.
I'm not listening to either of you, by the way.
I actually just made a very good point.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating.
Out of all people, you don't think they'd be discriminating against anyone else, and they're fighting discrimination.
Okay, Anon's against your Anon News. What was your thought that you were trying to?
Well, you said that the Constitution was written to shackle the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Who imposes those shackles? The people, right?
Correct.
You said it wasn't written for the people. So who was it written for? Who imposes the shackles on the Congress?
It was originally written to do this, but
Does the Constitution read "We the Congress"
get around it.
Or does it say "We the People"? I couldn't remember.
We the
how
people.
It starts
with Congress.
Well,
we
I mean,
Congress.
Obviously, our government has passed bills and put to get around that.
My main point. I love you, against your Anon News. You're a very...
Just call me three.
Okay, three. You are a very diligent fact checker. I respect that about you. I should have just narrowed my point to the First Amendment. The First Amendment was written for Congress. How about that?
Written by who?
I believe the
people.
Huh?
It was written by the people.
Right.
Okay, but you said it wasn't. You said it wasn't for the people. It was for Congress. It's just an absurd statement.
It was no.
It was written by politicians.
It's written by the people. For Congress.
Politicians. This is brilliant. Is this bizarre? We're in a bizarre world. I mean,
yeah, it's the internet. What do you expect?
I comprehension level is.
Well, I mean, it was.
Hold on. Side note. Sorry to interrupt. I want to know why Sicko quit Anonymous. He doesn't have to answer. Obviously, I'm just curious, and I'm not trying to be abrasive or an asshole. I'm curious because I liked Sicko. He wrote some great. Pace fence, man. I think your Anon News should have pushed people like him further forward to the forefront. Those pace fence you wrote about ending the left-right paradigm. I'm talking. Those pace fence you wrote about ending the left-right paradigm, about talking to people you disagree with, Sicko, those were great. I thought they should have pushed that forward. Even Vince is, hold on, just one more thing and then I'll shut up. Even Vincent has talking about ending the left-right paradigm, and I read those pace vents and they were brilliant. And I don't
Maybe
know why.
Maybe you should promote them.
Pride yourself on fact-checking. I actually didn't write that. Somebody else did.
You didn't go on a fucking tirade for 2 days about ending the left-right paradigm, and you put out more than one pace spin.
Well, maybe he was using others' information.
It just sounded like conjecture and opinion to me, but I happen to agree with it. It didn't cite sources or facts. It was just, like I say, I'm trying to compliment him, but if you guys insist on being contrary, then we're never going to get anywhere. I'm trying to compliment Sicko on his opinions, and I don't
Great
understand
job,
why.
Or Pratt.
Yeah,
I don't understand why everybody's being contrary.
I don't understand why you group everybody. I'm not being contrary. I haven't said a word.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's true.
And me telling you that the pace bin isn't mine, that's not being contrary. That's telling you the truth. I didn't write that
pace.
He did not write that.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I read it on his timeline.
Sure.
Because a lot of pace bins are retweeted on the timelines.
Yeah, but they were also followed by several tweets that were pretty
Maybe
public.
He agreed with it. Maybe he agreed with it because it was just...
I want to answer his question on why I no longer consider myself anonymous, however you want. There's multiple reasons. first off, I've been doing this shit for a long time. I've been around for a couple years. I feel like I've done pretty much all that I'm going to do as an anon. There's really not much more to accomplish is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it now because I'm stoned and don't really feel like putting a whole bunch of thought into what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's not much more that I can accomplish as an anon. There are some limitations put on me as well. People I can't communicate with. There are other hurdles that you have to overcome when you're an anon that, generally speaking, I'm pretty good at overcoming them. Usually if I can get somebody to sit down and talk long enough without hurling insults, they'll get over their preconceptions about what an anon is. And that's a lot of what I try to do as an anon. But here lately, most anons and most anons these days have become really whiny.
you're dead on there, brother.
And they're not accomplishing much as a whole.
I'm not trying to insult
you. I love that argument, too.
You're not doing nothing. Stop working on your anon news.
They're trying to do something.
Are they?
Hold on. They're just not working together.
What are they trying to do? Profit off of fucking Anonymous? Why isn't it called Jackal News Network?
Why
isn't it called Chris Banks News Network?
Shut up long enough and let me finish.
Who's the third name?
Okay.
Because he's a fucking whore. He's a zilch. And he can't do anything without Anonymous. And he's trying to hijack the name, and we're not going to let it happen. We're not even started with Christopher Banks yet.
What about the third of men?
We've gotten started
right
on
now,
Mr. Banks.
You are putting on a show that perfectly describes all of my beefs with Anonymous.
How about this?
Were we putting on
a show when we laid out D.B. Cooper's bullshit?
Let me finish.
Do you think we bullshit? You motherfuckers, I told your non-news, you think you're ass mad now, wait till this time next week, and everybody blew it off. They didn't want to listen. And I'm telling you now that we've just gotten fucking started.
They blocked my main account like a year ago. That account is suspended now.
I'll tell you what. I want to hear from all of you guys. I think you all are anxious to put your input in. But we're getting a lot of crosstalk. So, unfortunately, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give Anons against your Anon News.
No, let everybody else go first because I'd rather respond.
What about a subject change?
No, I think this is interesting.
We wouldn't really argue over. They can choose a subject. You wouldn't argue over.
I love all these free speech activists.
Okay. Gender is on hold.
They can't stand it.
Gender's on
hold. They can't stand anybody opposing them. They love.
Now Anonymous, Anons against your Anon News is on hold. Okay. For just a second. Hang on. Oh, dude. What? And he hangs up.
Oh, well.
I was going to give him the floor, but he wouldn't shut up to let me set him up.
He'll be back.
Yeah. Well, he's going to call back soon. We got 13 minutes to go. Anons against your Anons News, please call back. I want to give you the floor. Say your piece, and then we'll go to Sicko. We'll go to Ginger. We'll go to everybody else and give everybody a chance to talk. There's just too much crosstalk and chatter. So since Anons against your Anon News hung up, I'm going to bring Ginger back. Ginger, you'll make your point, and hopefully during the course of that, Anons against your Anon News will call back in and give his rebuttal because he seems to be representing the feelings of quite a few people within that community. And I think he makes some valid points. I'd like to give him the floor just as much as I'd like to give everybody else the floor. So right now I'm going to go to Ginger. Ginger, your thoughts.
I wasn't trying to, like, attack him. I just think he came on here wanting to argue or rant and rather than listen to others, and I was just trying to get him to stop because he kept repeating himself, and I'd say, well, I don't know, because he was taking up all the air time.
Right. I have no problem with that.
He was just angry and insulting everyone. I mean, to have a good conversation, you have to accept that other people have different opinions, but don't argue against them in some kind of crazy rant. Just use logic and argue. Well, not argue, but discuss. Sorry, painkillers are kind of
right. Okay.
What points do you think he made that many others carry? I'm not denying that he did. He just would like go at it so fast. I didn't really.
Well, I think he is expressing, well, I can't speak for him, but I pretty much feel like he's expressing a sentiment that is similar to a lot of what these Anons are feeling, is they feel like someone is profiting off of the name. And also, I've said this plenty of times, if I was an Anon, I wouldn't be so mad about the raising of money. To me, it's more like just the contradiction of having a centralized website that, you know, for an organization that considers itself a leaderless, decentralized organization. And also, I find it ironic that Jackal is the one that's spearheading this, considering he got burned really hard by Pressstorm. Pressstorm,
that's right.
Pressstorm was not a necessarily an anonymous site, but it was a news site that was very pro-Anon and had a lot of Anon contributors to it. And eventually, you know, a lot of these Anons put a lot of trust in Jamie Jo Korn. And then she turned on them. She tore down her site, rage quit, said that she was going to... She dropped docs on everybody that she had docs on, including Jackal. That's how the original Jackal docs got out there. She had all this info on people, and she said she was going to run off and write a book about it. And I'm still waiting for that book to come out, by the way.
You got to look at it like this, though, Vince. First, it's not a centralized anonymous website. Okay, it's a centralized Your Anon News website. PLF has a website. Molsec had a website. AnonOps has a website. Anon News Network has a website. You know what I mean? It's not a centralized anonymous. It's not, hey, every Anon, come here. It's, hey, we want to create a platform. You know, our little individual group wants to create a platform to put news out. That's what we're going to do beyond our Twitter account. As for why Jackal would spearhead this, it's like, well, what happened last time can't actually happen this time. You know what I mean? Nobody can sit back and dox Jackal and write a book about the exploit because he's already been doxed. It'll be like, oh, wow, you mean you Googled, you could have picked 6 or 7 different doxes out there on him now? Like, so the fear of that isn't that big of a deal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Now, you wanted to... finish up on your explanation of why you left Anonymous. Is that right?
Yeah, I know he's not here still, but I'm pretty sure he's listening. The reason I left Anonymous is, one, y'all would all become whiny. The dude who was just on the air, he
perfectly displayed that. Whining about Yan. Like, I've got bigger fish to fry than a group of people wanting to put news out. Even if they did raise $53,000, so be it. In the grand scheme of things, what's $53,000? You know what I mean? Like, the kind of economic hardships and stuff that we're out there standing against, $53,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to the government waste that I'm always protesting against. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about that. Like I said, I've got other shit to do. They want to fight people tweeting about somebody who committed suicide. That's on them. I've got other shit to do. And it was okay when it was just a group of people doing this stuff. You know what I mean? But now it's become the prevailing action. Everybody fighting Twitter trolls and people who say mean things about girls who get raped. And don't get me wrong. All right, the girls, the Amanda Todd, a tragedy. The Steubenville case, a tragedy. But going after people who are tweeting jokes about this stuff it's too far. You know what I mean? Like, calm the fuck down. Who the fuck do you think you are? You know what I mean? Who gave you the authority to determine what's okay speech and what's not? Like, that's not what I signed up for. And I don't want to deal with it anymore, you know? After Chenology, Anonymous saw an influx of activists, and it pissed a lot of the old fags off, correct? The same could be said it happened after Occupy. After Occupy and after Op-Bart, a lot of activists came to Anonymous thinking that it was some central group for activists to come and be a part of, and that's not what it was, and that's what it became. Is when I feel like I can do much more outside of Anonymous as an activist. We all want to be activists. Cool, I'm down with that. But I can do more as outside of an activist. I didn't sign up to be an activist as an anon to be one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, well, geez, the show's almost over, so it's time to go around the horn and get final thoughts. Let's start with Ginger. Ginger Brooks, the floor is yours. Final thoughts before we sign off here tonight.
Oh, gosh, what was the last thing he said? The sicko said?
I wasn't paying attention.
You don't have to be an anonymous to be an activist.
And I think, well, my main Twitter account is suspended, which I'm really upset about. I think having my name out there has helped me have a lot more influence than being anonymous. But I had different goals as well. But it's had, like, a lot more news sites, like, followed me. Like, big sites followed me. And it just helped me get the word out there. It was a lot easier. I tried being anonymous, and obviously that didn't work out for me.
Well, you know, I mean, it...
Sometimes it's easier to separate from the crowd and get stuff out there. Like, you can do a lot more individually sometimes.
No, I started learning about anonymous.
You made a good point.
And I joined up for the... I say joined up, and I'm using that term loosely, because... Everybody knows all the, you know, it's not a group, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I signed up for the community. I loved what the community stood for.
And it changed a lot.
The fact that Anons were activists was different than the fact that activists were Anons is different from Anons being activists. Like, or whatever, y'all know what I'm trying to say.
We weren't what they claimed to be.
Yeah, no, it's not that. I had some of my, off BART, some of my greatest...
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, well, some of my greatest in the streets protests were anonymous actions or whatever.
But at this point, it's like, I don't know.
We came together as Anons and was like, hey, let's go do this action. We didn't come to anonymous.
But now there are too many different things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. Anonymous was great while it lasted. It ran its course, and we should be happy and celebrate and move on to something new and better. And it takes patience. These things grow organically. You can't just snap your fingers and have some utopian movement some out there, you know. So just be patient, kids, and like they say, act, you know, think globally, act locally. Be the change you want to see in the world. You don't have to be a keyboard warrior with a Guy Fawkes icon on your Twitter account to make a difference. You can make a difference every single day in your interactions with people.
Exactly.
I want to give Chase a quick second to say some final thoughts. Chase, anything you'd like to add?
My final thoughts on the last hour or so after Euronon News came on, or Anon's against Euronon News, rather, not Anon News. I thought it was very hectic, but I kind of wanted to hear what he was saying, because after seeing some of the stuff that he said on the internet, I like that he is very informed and he sticks to the facts, which is cool. But also, as Sticko said, I completely agree with the whole activism without the label of Anon, because as you were saying, think globally and act locally. I think that as an individual without a group title, you do get a lot of people, and surprisingly people that you wouldn't normally think to be interested in what you stand for. Locally, you end up getting a lot more personal of a stand, especially like when you're younger, and if you have those political ideals, then if you express them locally, then and you're spreading information, then I think you end up getting a lot more people that would be interested and are interested in the facts that you wouldn't normally come in contact through just solely Anon.
Right. So true. We're out of time, folks, for the live broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. We will get final thoughts from OpNoPro, though. OpNoPro, is there anything you want to add?
Real quick, first of all, it's ironic, but people are forgetting that the first 138,000 members that Yan got came from LulzSec, okay? And that's how the whole thing started, because they turned over their membership base to Jackal. And secondly, I think, you know, I never took an Anon name. Never had it in my various names that I use. And I agree completely with Sicko. I left quite some time ago and wrote a little manifest on it, which I posted, and it's still available if people want to read it. But I think the organization, and I do call it an organization, and I do say that it has leaders, and it does have rules and things like that. And I think its basic philosophies are all a bunch of bullshit.
Right on. Well said. Thank you, OpNoPro. Anybody I miss? Sicko, final thoughts.
Well, no, not really. I kind of said mine. But OpNoPro, Simpson says hi.
Who does?
Vert.
Okay.
Vert.
Give him my love.
Vert is in the chat room, and he says hi.
Hello,
my
man.
I'm
telling
you, we all miss you. Good to hear from
you,
brother.
Yeah, I'm really glad you called in, OpNoPro, and try not to make such long. Try not to stay away too long next time.
I won't.
That's what I'm trying to say. Also, I want to thank Anons Against Your Anon News for calling in. I really wish he would have stayed on the line and had been a little more patient. I was really interested in hearing the points he was making. I think he was maybe a little bit too excited on the air, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully we can get him back on again sometime and get some more constructive discussion going with him. But that's it. I want to remind you that Sunday, my special guest will be Ron Breinart. That's right, the real Ron Breinart. It will not be Schmoop calling in on crack pretending to be Ron Breinart. Although I wouldn't put it past him to call in. But, the real Ron Breinart is going to join me on Sunday, and hopefully that'll be a fun show. I hope everybody comes out and tunes
same
in.
Time.
Same time. It'll be at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 a.m. Eastern. I believe that's 11
p.m.
Central. Yes. And that'll be the next show, Sunday. Sunday. So thanks again, everybody. I really appreciate the participation as usual. Thank you, Sicko. Thank you, NoPro. Thank you, Chase. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. No, thank you, Ginger. And again, thank you, Anons Against Your Anon News, for calling in. And until next time, I'm Vince in the Bay. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. And in the meantime, stay frosty. Good night.
I turned to the north, yeah, what have we just said? He said, no, I'm starting to box of God, learn these words instead. Go to the reflecting, my advice is free. There's a trick to Christian values, and it's compulsory. Stay frosty, that's what the preacher man said.
Stay frosty.
His words still bragging in my head. Can't control your future, can't control your friends in a world without end.
Stay frosty.
You wanna be a monk, you gotta cook a lot of rice.
Stay frosty,
you know.
you know about frostiness? Stay frostiest the most. And my brand new landlord proposed me a toast. My West Coast toast. Stay frosty. Chanting like a mantra. And there's nothing you can't handle. Far and wide, far as you ramble. Trust in our odds. But tie up your camel.
Thank you very nice.